what should I do? 3, 2, 1, and then hello, what are you drinking? Yeah.
No, but Bully's doing all that, isn't he?
Yes, but I'm doing the 3, 2, 1.
Oh, all right, yeah. Mate, calm down.
He's the 3, 2, 1 guy.
Right. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Feeling Naughty, a podcast where we transport you back in time as we reminisce and talk about everything that made the decade great and not so great. In this episode, we will be discussing gaming in the early part of the decade. The Naughty saw great strides in console gaming, moving from the much-loved PS1 to the PS2, Dreamcast saying bye-bye, Microsoft entering the market with the Xbox, and Sega laying down its controllers and walking off into the distance. Of course, video games were around long before the Naughties, but real strides were made making consoles a mainstay in every household and key entries on every Christmas list. Open world gaming came on leaps and bounds, and we all found that one friend who had completed it, mate. It was the decade where we tortured Sims, pretended we were gangsters in California, and had our favourite Nintendo characters fight to the death. Donkey Kong, you are my boy. Well, I'm joined by my three good friends, Ethan, Matt and Mike, as we discuss gaming in the early part of the 2000s and what it meant to them. Evening, lads. How we all doing?
Evening, Billy.
Evening.
Ethan. Evening. How you doing, buddy? So you got a mouthful of food there?
I've got a mouthful of Tamfastics at the moment.
Ethan, did you eat that whole packet in one bite?
You literally put that in the palm of your hand and then put them all in.
They're bite size.
Well, everything, so just, every food.
Everything's technically bite size, mate.
So, oh, Ethan, what are you drinking, mate?
I am drinking a rum and coke tonight.
Ooh. Ooh, spirits really? On a school night.
Yeah, I'm a geezer, aren't I?
Does that go down well with Tangfastics or?
Double sugar here.
Yeah.
Fair dues. Matt, what are you drinking? Are you still on dry jam?
No, I sacked that off because of the lockdown, didn't I?
Yeah.
Boris has driven me to the drink. So I'm drinking something called Everyday Hero, New World IPA.
Oh, lovely. Mike, what are you drinking this evening?
I'm having a lovely glass of South Australian Shiraz.
Ooh.
Made in
the South Australia?
The deep past of 2020.
Don't worry about asking me, that's fine.
Oh, sorry, well, Billy, yeah. Billy, what are you drinking?
Billy! So, last week, I got what I looked at the term, a bit white girl wasted on the Baileys and beer. So this week, if the Twinings boys and girls wants to get on, I've gone for a bit of that.
You having a
pure
tea?
Peppermint, and some. I'm back on the water again. So again, Evian, Buxton, sponsor.
He's
the
off
boys.
The booze.
Yeah, you were a bit wobbly at the end of that podcast.
Can I just make a few comments about how editing was slightly difficult because Bully was literally slurring his words.
Yeah, a liter of Baileys isn't what you need, really.
Have we got any feedback?
We do have some feedback from a couple of people. Now, the feedback stems back to the Christmas episode. So I got a feedback from someone called George, and George's comment was the PS2 story, and if you haven't listened, go back and listen to the Christmas episode, is the most tragic thing since Romeo and Juliet. So, yeah, there is that.
I've got some feedback from Simon in Berkshire, who has been very frustrated with us for several weeks because in the music episode, no one mentioned his favourite band, which is Birmingham five-piece, The Twang.
Maybe no one's mentioned them because no one's heard of them.
I mean, I've commented to him several times. I still don't know. I've never heard of the song by The Twang.
I do know, I have heard of The Twang. I, in fact, saw The Twang in 2007, 2008. They are for the lack of a better word, shit.
So now we've mentioned them.
They're shite. We appreciate your comments. You've had your mention. Let's all move on.
Right then, I've asked the boys to pick their top games from the early part of the decade. We've gone for the first part of the decade, mainly because we'd be here for 3 hours and we can do that on our own without any kind of forced interruptions. It's also helped by the boys at Sony and Microsoft because they did release the PS3 and the Xbox 360 then. So that will be a latter episode. Right then, first of all, I'm going to come to Matt.
Oh, I knew it was going to be me. I'm going to start off. So the reason I like, one of the reasons I like gaming is because I like the social element of gaming. Now, kids won't know the pain. Before, there was no gaming online. You had to get around someone's house to play the game. And not just that, we lived in a world where you had to buy things like multi-taps to have four controllers. There was none of this online gaming with more than two people without additional apparatus. So
yeah, so the PS2 only had slots for two controllers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so correct. You had to buy a multi-tap. So I'm going to go with a game that we all kind of played together and I really enjoyed, which was Time Splitters 2. I think it's widely renowned as one of the best games on PS2. And it just invokes memories of us getting together and all us and having a good old shoot 'em up. Now, I would say Time Splitters 2 also represents my creative peak in my life. I'm not a creative person. I can't draw, I can't paint, I can't sing, I can't do anything creative. However, what I could do is create good maps. Yeah, maps. Good maps, yeah. On PlayStation games, and the best one, I called it Blue's Crib, and it was on Time Splitters 2. It was dark, it had like throbbing lights, it had long corridors, doorways. There was only one place where you could be safe, because we used to play a game called Virus on Time Splitters 2, where one person starts with a virus and you've all got to leg it away from him.
You've missed a key component of when we would play Blue's Crib and Virus Mode. What was the character we all had to be?
Oh, yeah, all monkeys, obviously.
Obviously all monkeys. So we'd all be small monkeys. Fast. And you'd go in a luminous green colour, wouldn't you, if you had the virus?
Yeah, and you all had to either kill that person or run away from them.
But there was like a fantastic moment where some kind of glitch within the game meant that we'd play, because we'd add bots, wouldn't we? So
yeah.
We would play what with four players, and then we'd add as many bots as you could have. How many do you think it was, lads?
Probably 20? Another four. No, it was small amount. No,
really? I thought it was loads.
No.
Anyway, what would always happen is that no matter what, through a glitch in the game, a luminous monkey face would be in your screen when you respawned, and it would make you leap out of your skin.
It was just a good map. It was better than I can't even remember any of the normal maps.
No,
we just played a lot of,
and it was like a Wild Wild West level.
Yeah, and there was like a Hunchback back of Notre Dame level. It was just a great game, and it reminds me of gaming with you lot.
So, the boys.
And it was like I say, if they're ever going to make a Time Splitters, was there a three? There was probably a three.
Yeah, there was.
There was.
But I still got a memory card with Blue's Crib on it.
Maybe one day we'll revisit it.
It probably won't work now, but
or maybe pass it on to our children. Fantastic game. I think that was without a doubt like the multiplayer shooter of the era.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 100% game.
Right. Did we all have it?
I think we did.
No, I had it.
Also, I remember we would go around people's houses, we would take the GameCube and the PS2, and we would have multiple consoles playing Time Splitters 2 at the same time.
Yeah. Super cool dudes.
One of the perks of the GameCube was no need for a multi-tap. You could straight up foreplay, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm. You could do some straight up foreplay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you insert the disc just in the right angle.
Oi, oi. Thank you for listening to Feeling Naughty. Give us a follow, like, and comment on Instagram or Twitter, or both. If you would like to email us, it's feelingnaughty, N-O-U-G-H-T-I-E, @gmail.com. We would love to hear from you and what you got up to in the noughties. Enough of me, let's get back to the boys.
Ethan, what's your first pick, buddy?
My first pick is going to be Devil May Cry.
Ooh. I know that you and Michael have particular fond memories of this one.
Oh, yeah, I could never play it. Don't like puppets.
Nor could.
What was the matter? Oh, the puppet. Oh,
I don't. There were like zombie puppets. I remember coming around your house, Ethan. You were like, right, we're going to play this game. I was like, okay. You're like stage one, zombie puppets.
It was puppets. The first episode.
First level. Man.
First level. I was like, see ya.
It was a really good game, actually.
For our listeners, Matt has got a deep-seated fear of puppets, marionettes, or any kind of humanoid, like something that looks like a human but it's not quite human.
And you know what? Over Christmas, I found a new fear. Never-ending story. Fuck that right off.
Yeah, but again, that's a bit puppety as well.
That is odd. Anything with that. What's his name? Frank Oz. He can do one.
Yeah, Muppets, Jim Henson.
Muppets are all right, actually. Jim Henson. I can deal with a frog because a frog's a frog. But Count Dracula, he's on the verge. People always ask me, where's it become a puppet or a Muppet? It's Count Dracula.
Matt's favourite thing in the world is a dark crystal for anyone who wants to put anything on our social media.
Or the labyrinth.
He's so unhappy with us right now. Anyway, Ethan, tell us about Devil May Cry.
Well, there are a lot of puppets in it. Wasn't he like the son of the devil?
Who was the son of the devil?
Dante.
The main character, yeah?
Yeah. He was a sexy man.
What style of game was it?
It's like a hack and slash.
Yeah.
So he has a massive sword and like two guns at the start.
Oi, oi.
Does he know? Go on. He's got a massive sword.
He's got a massive sword
and two little guns.
All right. So what's he doing? What's the aim of this Dante guy?
So he's going after the devil.
His dad?
Pretty much. His dad.
Is he?
Doesn't he own a... Isn't Devil May Cry a club or something? Is it a club or is it a motor...
He's like a bounty hunter. That's his job. So it's the name of his shop. And so he has a shop called Devil May Cry and people come to him to like hunt demons. He's a demon hunter.
He's basically Constantine.
Yeah. 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 That's it.
Okay.
How does the first game start? Like what happens to him?
All I remember is starting and then there's a shitload of puppets that pop up. I don't know why it's puppets.
Because they freak people out. That's why.
Puppet demons, mate.
They were puppet demons.
Yeah. Cool. Decent.
But I used to play it, but Michael used to watch. Michael done a lot of that.
Watching.
Yeah, he just watches. Yeah.
No, I used to play.
No, you didn't. Well, Michael, I remember one summer you made me come around your house to complete Metroid Prime for you because you couldn't.
Yeah, that was just too hard.
You couldn't do that. I was like, I don't want to come. And you're like, get round here now.
Right, Mike, what's your pick, buddy?
My first pick is the GameCube's remake of Resident Evil.
Which one? There's loads in there. Is it a number?
Like it's Evil? Literally the first one. So the first one.
All right.
So the first one came out on the PlayStation 1 in like 1995. But in 2002, Capcom remade Resident Evil from the ground up using the GameCube's graphical capabilities. And it is a marvel in video gaming. So did anyone ever play the first Resident Evil on the PlayStation?
Yeah. It all builds up to the is it Nemesis at the end, right?
No, that's Resident Evil 3 Nemesis. Oh,
okay.
Resident Evil came out in 1996.
No, then I didn't play it. I played Resident Evil 3, Nemesis.
Did it? So no one played the first one in the mansion on the PS1?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No. No, I don't remember that one, actually.
Resident Evil 1 was the one in the mansion. Resident Evil 2 is the one in the police station. Resident Evil 3 is the one in the city where you've got Nemesis running after you the whole time.
Mm.
Anyway, Nintendo got the rights to Resident Evil from Capcom, and they decided to completely redesign the original game and remake it from scratch, using the great graphical capabilities of the GameCube. It has the pre-rendered backgrounds. It is suspenseful. It is true survival horror. Like, it has this amazing quality where you don't get much in the way of ammunition. You've got puzzles that you've got to solve. Ethan, you just spoke about the fact that I did a lot of watching of games rather than playing of games. Now these days, that's all people do, isn't it? On Twitch and that, they just watch games. I basically invented Switch.
Did you know?
15
Twitch.
Years.
Twitch.
Switch. I basically...
You invented the Nintendo Switch.
I basically invented Twitch,
okay,
15 years ago, because I would watch Ethan and particularly our friend, Matty, who would play Resident Evil, and he'd have to kill the big spider for me because I was too scared of spiders.
All I remember is, like, I remember watching you play it once and you were just looking around the house for ages, and then in the end you just found something in the drawer and that enabled you to do something else. And I was like, you're basically just searching a house.
I'm going home. Does anyone remember? So there would be a point in the game. I don't know if anyone, have any of you ever played this?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not the one. I've played Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 is a good one. Anyway, so there'd be this bit in the game where the zombies, like after a certain point in the game, all the zombies that you'd killed earlier, unless you'd removed their heads, unless you'd managed to get the angle perfect that shoot their heads clean off, they would all come back to life as crimson heads, and they're like super quick and super strong, and you would just be going, because you'd go through an area that you've been through plenty of times and you've cleared out and you're dead confident, and then suddenly you'd see a crimson head go across the camera and then they'd run at you and kill you. It's terrifying.
It was like I was there.
Yeah, how much of this game would you play one sitting, Mike? Because I imagine you sort of do one, get really scared, and then sort of put it down for a couple of days.
It's the kind of game
he didn't play nothing.
Nah, yeah.
He didn't play at all.
I probably played like the first 20 minutes 15 times and then watch other people finish it for me.
And as soon as the sun went down, that computer went off.
There was another game on the GameCube, another horror game called Eternal Darkness. And I used to play that for about 10 minutes, and then there'd be this like horrible whispering that would come through the sound, and I'd just turn it off every time. I never played longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah. I remember, Mike, coming to your house, and we'd go to your PC, and we'd be like, right, we need to find a walkthrough. What we'd do, we'd find a walkthrough, print it all out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Forgot this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So there was like 126 pages.
Sorry, Dad. I've got an important fax I've got to send. Where's all the fucking paper?
We just take it to your room. But I don't know what we did with the walkthrough, because every time I come around, we print out another walkthrough.
Bloody hell, that paper bill went through the roof in the cut house.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I completely forgot that. Because obviously the kids these days, if they are playing a one-player game, which they don't, it would be, they just go online for a walkthrough YouTube video. But we had to find, do you remember Game Facts?
Yeah, Game Facts.
Game Facts. And then you'd download a walkthrough, and you'd have to print the bastard because you couldn't stay on the internet the whole time because it cost a fortune.
No one could use the phone.
Exactly. Someone's got to make a phone call.
Go on, Bully. What's one of yours?
I'm going to go for San Andreas, Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, my word.
Great game.
The ultimate in open world gaming.
I mean, that's a big claim. You mean it's the early noughties or ever?
Ever. Ever. It's fantastic. It is fantastic. It is
It has got a nostalgic feel to it because you're basically a former gangster, CJ. He returns back to the hood because his mum dies and he gets back in the gang life. So basically for what was us, a group of 14-year-old boys knocking around in the home counties, that's the closest we got to gang culture and it was pretty cool.
It's set in the early 90s though, isn't it?
It is set in the early 90s. So it's got nostalgic music that attributes that era as well.
Yeah.
Early 90s West Coast.
And I remember
California hip hop.
Because I was a big fan of the GTA games, but going from, like, I think, was it Vice City came out before that, and then it was San Andreas, it was just so much bigger. I remember when I first got it, one of the first things I did was just climb the mountain and jump off it. Just because I could. You didn't have a scooter as well, did you? I had one of those, you cycled up there, mate.
Yeah, the amount of time I must have spent literally as a fake character just cycling a street, just around, just cycling. Oh, what is this?
I mean, can you get tattoos? You could get beat. You have to like beef yourself up.
You could go to the gym. You could get yourself
muscly.
Go to the gym.
Could get a haircut. There was so much options for customization. There was like different. There was so many clothes shops because you could go to like the posh part of town and buy like fancy suits, or you could go to like the local hood, sort of thrift shop as they would call it in the US, and buy like cheap clothes. I'm with you, Bully. Like, I'm going to say like a controversial statement. Like, I think San Andreas is better than Grand Theft Auto 5.
All the things you've said you can do in Grand Theft Auto 5 now. And then we did that back in the 2000s.
I know it's not, but when I played Grand Theft Auto 5 for the first time, I felt like it wasn't as big as San Andreas. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, it objectively is, but it didn't feel it because San Andreas has got three cities, hasn't it? So it has LA, Las Vegas, and San Francisco. Yeah, they're the three West Coast cities, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there are three cities. Yes, you are correct, Michael. Well done.
And see, my controversial thing is I preferred Vice City.
I never played Vice City. Never played
it's
it.
It's just got an unbelievable soundtrack.
Yeah, but so does San Andreas.
Yeah, but I'm
award-winning soundtrack as well from San Andreas.
Well, I'm sure Vice City must have won some awards. I just liked. I mean, they did just rip off. They went. We can't be bothered with a plot. We'll just do Scarface.
Yeah. San Andreas is a more original story.
At the time, I hadn't watched Scarface, and then when I watched Scarface, I was like, "Why are they ripping off Vice City?"
Tony Montana, stop it. Matt, isn't your second pick?
Okay, and no one's going on this call is going to like it, but I've picked it for a good reason. It's called Final Fantasy X. Now, I like a role-playing game.
Nerd!
And I like role-playing games. I am a nerd, but that's okay. If you are something, embrace it. That's my message for this podcast. Yeah, so it was basically like a Japanese role-playing game. And, you know, it was the first Final Fantasy on PS2. And it just
was
had
it?
A...
Was it really?
Yeah. It's my first. So, yeah.
Was it the first and only?
No.
I think that's the only one I played on it.
Final Fantasy 12, which was probably a better game, but I remember Final Fantasy 10. Now, I've got another tragic memory that involves a PS2 and Final Fantasy 10 because... Finally, the PS2's in my room after years of it being downstairs and locked up, right? It's in the room. So if you don't know the story, go back and listen to the Christmas episode. PS2's in my room. Now, back in the day, you couldn't just save a game willy-nilly. You needed to get to a save point. Because if you didn't get to a save point, you have to start everything you've done, no automatic saving, it's gone.
Very similar to Resident Evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So At the time, I shared a room with my brother, my older brother, and I just got to the final boss of Final Fantasy. And if anyone's played like a Final Fantasy style game, you could be fighting the end boss for a couple of hours and you can't save it in between. So I can't even tell you, maybe 10 minutes after like a 2-hour slog, going to kill the boss. My brother come in and just said, "Bedtime, turn it off." And I just remember I just remember thinking, "You fucking bastard."
You're right. It would take literal hours to finish that.
Talking about walkthroughs, I actually bought a walkthrough for it. An official. I told a lie. I didn't buy it, and I've still got it in my house today. I borrowed off our friend Mark, and I never gave it back, and I've still got it. So, Mark,
mate, you need to start throwing some stuff out. You're keeping a lot of stuff.
I borrowed that from you 15 years ago. If you would like it back, no, more than that, 17 years ago. It's still in good condition.
I guarantee he'd want that back.
Apart from my guy, I drew glasses on one of the main characters, but you know, we all did that.
Ethan, you weren't really a Final Fantasy man, no.
Is this the one with Blitzball?
Yes,
it is. The one with Blitzball. Yeah.
This is the only one I've ever played.
Yeah.
Did you own it? Did you own the game?
I did own the game. Yeah. And I think I only played Blitzball.
I think I'm with you on that. I had it, and then Matt and our friend Mark would be the only two that played it.
No, and Adam, the nerds, the holy trinity of nerds. But also, you get these things called Aeons, which basically you can like call upon them and they help you fight. And this is how sad it is. I named them all after you lot. I had I had Ethan. I'd call Ethan. You were like a fire monster dog. Bully was for some reason was like an ice woman. And Michael, you were sort of laser eagle.
Love it.
So there you go.
It's your spirit animal right there.
So happy.
I was like a ninja. So there we go.
Mike, let's move on to you.
Super Smash Brothers Melee for the GameCube.
What a game.
That is a good game.
So for anyone who is unaware, Super Smash Bros. It's a beat-em-up. It's a fighting game, multiplayer fighting game that features Nintendo characters. Now, the first Smash Bros. Actually came out for the N64, and it was such a novel idea, because essentially what it allowed you to do was pit famous Nintendo characters such as Mario, Yoshi, Kirby, Link, Donkey Kong, and have them beat the crap out of each other. And so Super Smash Bros. Melee was the GameCube's expansion on Smash Bros., which basically took everything that was great about it and made it better, bigger, and more chaotic. More characters, more items, bigger levels, huge maps. We had literal days worth of fun playing this game. Yeah, what a game. Any memories, boys?
I just remember playing it way too much. We had like a cycle. We were playing it even into uni. Although, actually, no, sorry. I think that might have been the Wii version.
The Wii version.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone had their own favourite character, didn't they?
Yeah, should we go around and pick what character we'd go to?
Go on, Mike, you open up first. It's your pick, you go first.
Samus from the Metroid games. I loved Samus because you could charge up her plasma rifle until you get that little spark, and then at the perfect moment when someone would land next to you, you'd press B and you'd shoot them and they'd fly off the map.
Oy. Matt, who's yours?
Kirby, because it annoyed people that I used to just float around and then turn into a brick on their heads.
The most annoying
character. People would be like, play the game properly, I'd be like, bloop, 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 on their head. I couldn't get jumping, I could not do it. So Kirby was the best character to be if you couldn't jump properly, because you just kind of floated your way back in.
I think it's important we just state the kind of central mechanic. Most beat-em-up games up until that point was just two characters on the same screen, punching and kicking and doing combinations.
Until your
health bar went from a high percent, like at the high level, to zero. This was literally the opposite. You would have like a little percentage and you'd get literally blown off the screen and off the map. Kirby was good because you could always jump back onto the map, couldn't you?
Yeah, there's no smashing me off. I was always like, you'd be like, I've got him, and I'd be like, bloop, 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 bloop.
Fuck off! That comes to my pick. My pick was a brute. Mine is Donkey Kong, the nemesis of Kirby, because I just wanted to shove the screen, but you just kept fucking coming back.
Yeah,
drop it on my head.
You couldn't thunderclap me. That was your plan, wasn't it?
Ethan, who was yours, mate?
I was going to choose Kirby, but mine was going to be, my next one's going to be Ness.
He was another little wanker, wasn't he?
He was really hard to jump, though. He had to like fire a thunderbolt up his own ass to get
exactly.
Him.
That's it.
He used to go, "I can do it." He used to go,
"BK power, BK power." Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Ethan would always pick Ness, but he really wasn't very good at getting Ness, and he'd lose.
Right, we're going to go for a little game of Naughty or Nice. Michael, play that jingle.
Naughty or Nice.
Right then, straight up, Naughty or Nice. I've got a couple there. Cheat codes in games. You using them?
Depends on the game, I'm going to say. I'm going to say Nice, because some games, like, if they're so difficult or it's just really fun to have, Nice. But, yeah, so I'm going to go Nice.
For the most part, Naughty. For the most part, I wouldn't use cheat codes. However,
what do you call walkthrough, Mike?
Well, I guess so. No, but that's not what he said. He said cheats.
Cheat codes.
I, for the most part, would not use cheats. Certain games I would. So, like, Grand Theft Auto, no point doing cheats. I would never use cheats in Grand Theft Auto.
Not even to get, like, tank and just drive around.
No, because I like... the thing I enjoy the most about those games is making money. And if you don't... And I just like playing the game properly. I'm the kind of guy in Grand Theft Auto that stops at the traffic lights. Yeah? Anyway. And so I like to fully immerse. So I don't want the police to catch me. I think, oh, if I jump this red, they'll catch me. But the game that I definitely would use cheats is, and I don't want to step on anyone's toes, is The Sims. I would always use the cheat on The Sims, because there's, like, who's got time to do all of, like, go to work every day? Like, you just get the cheat code, build a house. But I don't want to go any further than that, because that might come up later. So I'm going to say Naughty.
If... Cheat codes.
I'm gonna say Nice. Back, who doesn't love getting a grenade launcher?
Yeah. Back in the day around. As well, if you bought like the PS magazine, you got cheap discs, so you could load the disc. So if you couldn't be bothered to like play the first four like levels, you'd be like, oh, cheat disc straight into the middle of the game.
I'm gonna go Nice. I like cheat codes. Like you, Mike, I wouldn't use too many in GTA because. It just gets boring if I can just rocket all the police away.
What game would you cheat the most in?
I think a bit like you on The Sims, to be honest.
Yeah, Sims got a bit.
No, any sort of football manager game where you could just get.
Oh, no, yeah. Quid. Yeah, no, yeah.
And you'd just be like, you just buy everyone. David
I'm
Beckham.
Just buy Rivaldo.
I used to be Liverpool in there, and Man United go, you can only have David Beckham for 200 mil. I was like, all right, here you go.
Delio.
Nakata, 60 mil. Have it.
All right, next one, Michael. You've already mentioned this. Driving normally in open world games.
Oh, sorry.
Naughty, naughty. Ethan can't drive normally in real life, so he's going to say naughty.
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 Nice.
Naughty, I don't know how you've got time, Mike, to just sort of stop at red lights.
What?
You've got to run people over, Mike.
Just to avoid playing those scary games.
I might have been slightly exaggerating with stopping at every red light, but for the most part, I try to drive responsibly.
See, I use cheat codes to get rid of the police after me in GTA, so that's why I don't care.
Oh, mate. That's no fun. Yeah, fair enough.
Gone.
Yeah. Next one. Visiting adult-themed establishments in open-world games outside of missions. How many of you boys are just rocking up to a strip club for no reason in an open-world game? Naughty or Nice?
I don't know what you mean here. What
you games don't play the innocent with us.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Vice City, you had strip club, didn't you? I was too busy. I like to be the ice cream man selling drugs. Not in real life, I mean in the game.
I think he's talking between...
Do you know, in Vice City, you could buy the ice cream van and you could stop and sell drugs, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I never would go into a strip club.
Yeah, I'm saying that's nice. Yeah, strip club.
Because you could own a strip club in Vice City, couldn't you?
No, in Vice City, you could own a strip club, yeah.
No, I you know.
Okay, fair enough. Ethan?
Nice.
Nice. That's the most awake he's been all day.
Ethan's rating of this episode is not enough knobbing.
Right, next one. Right, 100% in a game. Are you sticking around and trying to get 100% of the game? In Final Fantasy, for example, that would have been quite hard to do because there's a lot of mini missions and stuff.
Absolutely not. And this is one of my crux of games now. They're too big. I cannot be bothered. I want to go from beginning to end with some movement. And when I do that these days, it's like, you've completed 5% of the game. I'm like, but I have finished it. I'm not in it for like 100-hour gaming. Who's got that time? And if you have, you need to rethink your life. Yeah. Like, if you're winning platinum trophies on new version of games, you need a hobby.
I'm with Matt. No way. Naughty. I don't think I've ever 100% of the game in my life. I do not care.
I've never put 100% effort into anything, let alone a game. You can get definitely 60%.
So, definitely naughty. You can't do all these side missions and other bits. You just want to do your missions and that's it.
Yeah, no, you just want to buy a prostitute, kill a prostitute, turn the game off. Yeah.
I don't want to have to kill 100 to get a special badge.
What was it on GTA? What was the thing you had to do to get 100%?
Get all the packages. Do you remember hidden packages?
Hidden packages. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. What did that even mean?
Don't know.
No. Yeah, we're all naughty there. Yeah. What about naughty. You, Billy?
Yeah, naughty. Yeah. I cannot. I haven't got the time to watch sort of like critically acclaimed shows, let alone sit there and get 100% on a game.
No.
No, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. Enough. Once it's done, like, I'm like you, William. If you finish a game and I see end credits, I'm not going back.
Yeah,
to offer stuff.
It depends. If there's something to gain from it, like something interesting that makes the rest of the game fun, I'll do it. But after you've completed the game, what's the fucking point?
Yeah. Done. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Right, last one. Well, I've got two more. But one of them is...
I'm enjoying
this. Is very specific and is dates us a little bit. Swapping out broken games for ones that you've rented at Blockbuster.
So stealing.
Yeah.
No.
You've broken the game that you've got and you're going to go replace it with someone. Basically, take another version.
So this is
Ethan.
This
Ethan,
is
do you want to go first?
Yeah, Ethan.
This is very nice. So I used to do this all the time. So with the discs.
Or would they not come back to you and say you've broken the game?
No. So what you did. So you know you normally get a scratch in the game and it wouldn't play. So what you do, you go to Blockbusters, rent
not
the game.
You don't.
I think right. This is why they went bust.
Got no games left.
Rent the game, swap the game over, give it back to them.
Right.
Then you've got a brand new game.
Yeah, but Bloomy's asking, how did they not notice?
Idiots. Well, you're 16 year old people working
there, yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah.
I never did that.
Did you know, just to quit more on Blockbuster, did you know that Blockbuster offered to buy Netflix for 50 million?
Yeah. I always remember I'd never give a defeat. Do you always remember that you used to like breathe on the disc and wipe it? You'd be like, don't worry, this will fix it. Yeah. It never worked. And you turn it on and it goes, because it's hitting the scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad times. You don't get that anymore. People downloading games.
Losers, absolute losers.
I'm going to say it is
naughty, isn't it?
It's naughty, but at the same time, it's quite nice. I never did it, but I can't say I didn't take some vicarious pleasure from Ethan getting a free game from Blockbuster.
Blooming, yes. Naughty, nice.
Naughty. Do you know what? I never think I even ever rented a game from Blockbuster.
Oh.
I just
there you go.
Yeah, never was.
Fair dues.
What about
last
you?
Last one,
Matt.
Bully. Oh, me? Oh yeah. Nice. I was.
So you're all bloody thieves, basically.
I'm not going to lose that game. I'm going to continue to play it, and I'm going to rent a new one. Last one. Would you ever? This is more of a would you ever kind of thing. Would you ever, when you have to create a character, would you always stick with your own gender and ethnicity, or would you go for a massive difference to your own character?
Well, in wrestling, I used to go 7 foot tall, 4 foot wide, yellow banana man. I was just a big yellow blob. Does anyone remember Banana Man?
Like I do.
chokeslam people, but no.
I don't remember that at all.
I would always be the base character normally. If it's a game, I don't like changing them that much. Just stick with it what it is.
Ethan, I swear, mate, we had actual names, didn't we? We had characters.
Was it Big Love?
Yes. Who was Big Love? Who was Big Love?
So you had...
Who was Big Love? Was that your character, Ethan?
Was it Big Love and Slim?
So. I think you were Big Love. And my character... the thing about this is, Bully, these characters, they would transcend over different games. Like, yeah. So they would follow us. My character was called... And again, I love this podcast. This has not gone in my mind in 15, 16, 17 years. My character was called The Judge. Do you remember?
Yes, it was.
And I even had, like, his real name was Todd Jones, TJ.
TJ,
and so it was TJ Todd Jones, a.k.a. The Judge. That was his name. And that was my character on all of the wrestling games. And I'd like to say that he resembled my appearance, but he was how I wish I looked. Oh, my God. I can't believe this.
Right.
I think he even had like a finishing move and everything, like the Judge Buster or something like
Big
that.
Big Love and the Judge.
Yeah. Great Christ. Days.
So, okay, nice all round.
So definitely nice. Oh, sorry, whatever it is. I don't know what the game is.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Ethan's going nice as well, I can tell.
Yeah.
He's working up.
Big Love. Oh, no, but Ethan's couldn't have looked further from him. It had like big, spiky blonde hair.
All right there, podcast listener, you've only gone and found Feeling Naughty. Give us a follow on @feelingnaughty on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to email us, it's feelingnaughty, N-O-U-G-H-T-I-E, @gmail.com to let us know what you got up to in the noughties, or if you want us to talk about absolutely anything at all. Back to the boys.
My pick is going to be SmackDown Here Comes the Pain.
Oh my God, such a good game.
Such a good game.
Do you not like it?
I'm sure we'll get to why I don't like it, surely.
Because you always lost.
Explain it.
Yeah, he wasn't particularly good at it. So graphically, it was actually one of the better fighting games of the time.
It's a wrestling game, right?
It is a wrestling game. WWE of the SmackDown franchise. It had such iconic matches as the bra and panties match. remember those ones, boys?
Wasn't that you just had to rip someone's clothes off?
You basically had to be a female wrestler and take each other's clothes off.
They don't make games like that anymore.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
No.
I mean, they know their audience in the WWE, don't they?
How did they make that work in a video game?
Pretty well. I mean, when you've got people like Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson, it just falls naturally into the planning process.
How does the animation work?
They just rip their clothes off. Yeah. So the premise was, do you know you had a finisher?
Yeah.
You got to a finisher, but the finisher was just ripping their clothes off.
Right, okay.
Again, every 14-year-old's dream. They were, I mean, notable characters were Stacey Keibler, Tori Wilson. Goldberg was my go-to guy. Big
in a bra and panties match,
muscly man. Oh yeah.
What was his finishing move? Goldberg. I'm thinking of Gold Dust. His finishing move was just kick someone in the knob.
Yeah. He was a bit of a sexual deviant, old Gold Dust. But there were other notable characters. So you had the biker Undertaker. So that harps back to Michael's Limp Bizkit of 2000. That was his entrance music. The Hurricane, which was one of Bloomy's, again, annoying characters that he just liked to play with the whole time.
So my favourite thing about the Hurricane was I got pretty good at the game. Apart from, I think, Bully, you were the best. But apart from everyone else, the Hurricane is the weakest character, but no one could hit me. And I used to run around and just finish them all off one by one, basically. It caused so much rage.
And it was one of those games that you had to use the multi-tap for. So you could have four people in it. I think you could maybe even had... I think it was max four. So you'd have ultimately more than four people in what was then my very tiny bedroom playing a game, screaming and shouting at wrestling, really.
Can you unlock Limp Bizkit?
You could. And I think we might have spent Saturday trying to do that.
Do you mean Fred Durst? Do you mean Fred Durst, the lead singer?
Yeah. Oh, no, you could get them all, can you?
No, just him. Just the main one.
My favourite thing about that game is I was always the Hurricane, who's the weediest little man. But no matter what, he would just choke slam people four times his size because the game didn't work out that he couldn't.
Ethan, who would you be?
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah. To a later Stable. Life that I look like now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So just for our listeners, Ethan, when we were at school, and I mean like at school, like year 7, year 8, Ethan would go to the vending machines. he would purchase 2 cans of Dr. Pepper. So a pound, that was a lot of money back then for an 11, 12-year-old. He would purchase 2 cans of Dr. Pepper. He'd go outside. And because we loved wrestling so much, if anyone knew, Stone Cold Steve Austin used to smash cans of beer together and then would drink them from about, I don't know.
Doing a high pull.
4, 5, 6 inches away from his mouth in the air. Directly into the mouth. Ethan would do this every day with 2 cans of Dr. Pepper over his white shirt.
That's why you've got so many fillings, mate. Dr. Pepper.
But little did you know at the time that you would one day become Stone Cold Steve Austin in appearance.
I remember one of our friends used to host a ladder match in his living room. So great time. So there was one for the non-wrestling fans. The ladder match, the premise was the belt was in the air, and the only way to kill it, you won if you retrieved the belt. The only way to kill it was by climbing a ladder, and we decided to replicate that within a living room. I can't even remember how.
Except that wasn't the rule. Do you remember the rule, Ethan?
You had to hold the light or to touch the ceiling?
Yeah, you had to touch the ceiling for 10 seconds from a stepladder. We would play this game in a small living room. And we would do these ladder matches, and I remember once being close to the ceiling. Ethan kicked the ladder away, and I fell through a coffee table.
Yeah. I specifically remembering a moment where Ethan's head nearly went into a fish tank. I'm pretty sure there was a fish tank in that room.
Yeah, but didn't have snails.
No, all, seahorses.
Yeah, and all this, and there was this random dog biting your foot all the way through. So you didn't just have you humans to fight. You had really angry dogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wrestling.
That's what you do. That's what you do.
That was I forgot about all that. Real life.
Good pick.
But no, Bully, what's your story? You've got
story. Oh, yeah, my story. Yeah. Well, there's no dogs or falling through tables in this one. Just an angry father. So when we were back in the day, we'd be up in my room playing the games, inevitably screaming and shouting at each other and hitting each other and fighting whilst doing it. On one such occasion, my mother was at work, so my father was looking after me. We were playing away. I didn't know this, but he actually popped next door because there was a neighbourhood watch meeting about youths in the area. And all my dad could hear was 4 to 8 young boys screaming and shouting out of his son's bedroom window. And my dad wasn't particularly happy with that and came home incredibly angry. I had to ring my mum to make sure that this was actually a true story. And my dad declined to enter the phone because he said, yes, that is very true. I did not want to be there. Oh, and you didn't make it very enjoyable for me.
Oh, Daddy Bull. We've upset him.
So's Dad.
I slept around your house like every other week.
Yeah.
But I think he liked me, I think. It's you.
Yeah, it was me. Yeah, it was me shouting out my bedroom window to wrestling games. He didn't really enjoy.
Just not so much his son.
Love you, Dad. Love you, Dad.
We love you, Daddy Bull. You're always welcome on the podcast. If you fancy reminiscing on the decade that you would rather remove from memory.
Ethan.
So, we all played FIFA. So, we all love FIFA. So. Oh, yeah. But there was one game that stuck out. And no, that was Euro 2004.
Right. No, that didn't stick out, did it?
How have you picked this?
It was the worst game ever.
It was. It was the crappest game. But it's the one I really, really wanted for some reason. I remember it like, we were all used to play football down a local park. And I remember we wanted to go to the town to get to socialise. But I always wanted this game. But I didn't have enough
money.
What do
you mean, always wanted it?
When it came out. It came out in like February.
This shows how spoiled you were. No, it didn't, Ethan. It came out in July. When the tournament happened, which is in the summer.
It's like a mid game cycle release,
that one. So FIFA 2003 would have come out in like December, November time. For the 2003-2004 season, the Euros were in June, July, and the game would have come out in like May. So this shows how spoilt you were, mate. You always wanting it would have been like May the 1st, and you got it on May the 14th. I'm telling you.
Well, this game I had to buy myself.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With what? With what money?
With all the money Nick from Blockbusters.
So I had a bit of pocket money back in the day. But I didn't have enough money to get that game that weekend. So I asked a friend if I could borrow a fiver off him. Got the game. The game was crap, as usual. But the friend wanted his £5 back, and I didn't have it the weekend after. So he told me that he was going to get his stepdad to punch me in the face.
What?
I don't remember if I didn't give the money back.
Let's delve into Euro 2004 a little more. It was a feat. It was basically, do you remember this, lads? So at the time, EA Sports, they used to create a separate cash-in game, which used the exact same engine for... No, this was actually... It used to be like almost like a demo for the next year's FIFA. It was like... It didn't use the engine from the previous year. It used the engine in its like... Do you all know what like a beta is?
Yeah.
So it's like when a game... So nowadays you get beta where a game is not quite finished, but the developer will put it out online for people to download so they can get early access to the game, but it's not quite finished. And then they get like a bit of feedback. So that's basically what those games were. It's like a beta of FIFA 2004 that would come out a few months earlier. That's why they were always terrible. So there was like World Cup 98, World Cup 2002, Euro 2004, and I think it stopped after that, but they were always rubbish.
They were really, really terrible.
And Ethan was going to get assaulted for it.
But Ethan knows. The Sims. because, one, I think it's a pretty iconic game for the noughties. I played it on the, I think it did come out on the PlayStation or maybe... I had it on the PC, which is good because I didn't have a PS2 in my bedroom, but I did have a PC in my bedroom, and it was brilliant. And unlike you people, I didn't use cheat codes. I used to have to slog my way up into those mansions.
So with your Sims, so you obviously put the effort in, the time in. You weren't torturing them and just locking them in rooms.
No, I wasn't. And also, I was really into, because I think the whole premise was you had to have loads of friends and loads of money and go to work every day and have like a proper life to like go up the chain. But it got to a certain stage where you'd sack it off. Like, there's no way I can maintain 10 friendships in The Sims. It was too much. It's too much.
Can't do that now.
Betty next door keeps coming around and for some reason using the toilet 4 times. I remember that. People used to get in your hot tub without asking you. You wouldn't do that in real life, would you? Yeah. Knock them out.
Here's a question for you, Matt. Would you like make yourself be a character and then perhaps a girl you were interested in at the time? Would they be the person you live with?
Do you know what? Like,
make a little family?
Once I made a street with just me and everyone else was women.
Oh. If you take anything away from this episode.
Oh dear.
But you could it was good because if you were good enough friends with people, you could bed them, couldn't you? give them a good virtual nubbing. And weren't you able to have babies? You had a little baby, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. When you'd done enough virtual bedding, eventually you'd have a little baby.
I remember we had a friend who used to like box the Sims in, and then they just used to gradually die.
Yeah, you could either make them starve to death, or you. What my personal favourite would be is that you box them in. No, so you get them all in one room, and then you go into build mode, delete all the doors. Make them turn on all the... put in about 17 fireplaces. Make them turn them all on. Yeah. And watch them burn.
Or you get swimming pool. Get them into the swimming pool. And then take the ladder out.
Take the ladder out, yeah.
Let just swim round.
Classic.
I mean, if there's ever a game that created psychopaths, it's probably The Sims.
My last one, I'm going to go for Hitman 2.
Oh.
Now, I've described it, and it's probably not true, as the ultimate in decision-making gameplay, because you could, in theory, be the ideal hitman, go around silent, deadly, choke people out, or you could do what we all did, probably the second time round, is just shoot everyone.
Yeah.
That's not what I did the second time round, because it was much harder to be silent. It was just better to shoot everyone.
Yeah, and you could disguise yourself. You could hide bodies in bushes or in weird places. You're basically another bald person. It's a common theme in my games, apparently, that I'm living now. He was a bald assassin, bald hitman.
Yeah, I did like that game, but you spent an awful lot of time. If you tried to do it properly, you'd spend half the game dragging naked dead bodies into bushes.
Putting them in bins. Yeah. Yeah.
Common theme in our gaming experiences.
Whereas if you just went, screw it, I'm just shooting everyone, then it was a lot more satisfying. Job done.
I guess that this was a real stride in non-linear gaming, which basically allowed you to decide how you complete a level, because you would essentially just be given a target and you could decide how you fulfill your mission by killing that target, whether that was getting really close to them and stabbing them, whether that was just blowing up everyone in the level and finding them, or finding yourself like from distance, wait for them to go by a window and sniper them, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, it was good.
Nah, but we all did.
Too slow for me.
We all picked the same option, didn't we, really?
I would try and do it silently, go up behind people, choke them, drag him to a bush, whack his clothes on, pretend to be him. But you'd get so far, and like you said, you're dead. So you think, oh, fuck it, I've spent half an hour doing that. So now let's just shoot everyone, see how far I get. And
it's like any game with stealth kills, no thanks. I'm going in I'm going in John Wick style.
Yeah. We're all John Wick.
And that's it. Job done, boys.
Wow. Great stuff.
Finito.
Finished.
Shall we say goodnight to each other?
Yeah, go on.
Good night.
The central mechanic in Burnout 3 is takedowns, which allow players to slam their opponents until they crash. Takedowns work in conjunction with the boost system by filling up and extending the boost meter.
Stop clicking!
The game features modes focused on performing takedowns on rival vehicles and causing monetary damage as a junction. That was it. The amount of damage you caused the other car was how you won.
So the biggest crash.
So not really what you said, though.
So causing
you don't crash. You make the other car crash.
Not if you're Ethan. Not if you're Ethan.
Have you played a video game, Ethan? Have you played any of the games?
On Burnout 3, there was a certain mode. I think it's called like Road Rage or something like that.
We're literally just the biggest crash. You got the most points. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's what I always play. That's how I live my life, really.
One car crash after another.
Oh, bully! That's not nice.